Why have terms like privilege, microaggression, and cultural appropriation suddenly dominated our social conversations? The answer lies in an intellectual revolution that began in obscure academic departments and has now reshaped how we discuss identity, power, and justice. This transformation started in the 1960s with French theorists like Michel Foucault and Jacques Derrida, who fundamentally altered not just what we think, but how we think about thinking itself. Born from disillusionment after two world wars, the Holocaust, and the collapse of colonial empires, postmodernism rejected the Enlightenment's faith in reason, scientific progress, and universal truth. Unlike the measured skepticism that enables scientific advancement, postmodernism introduced a radical cynicism challenging the very possibility of objective knowledge. It rests on two principles: the postmodern knowledge principle, all truth is subjective and contextual, and the postmodern political principle, society consists of power systems that determine what can be known. In this framework, knowledge isn't something that corresponds to reality, but a cultural construction serving power interests. As Foucault argued, what we consider truth is merely what those in power allow to be discussed. Imagine if someone told you that the scientific method itself is just one language game among many equally valid ways of knowing. This is precisely what postmodernist Jean-François Lyotard claimed. But doesn't science's self-correcting process, with its empirical evidence and peer review, make it fundamentally different from other narratives? This tension between postmodern skepticism and the search for workable truth would eventually transform academic departments and then society at large. By the late 1980s, pure postmodernism had reached a philosophical dead end. How could anyone fight injustice after deconstructing the very concepts needed to identify it? Postmodernism evolved into something more practical through frameworks like postcolonial theory, queer theory, and critical race theory. The dilemma was clear. If all categories are artificial constructs serving power interests, how can you organize around women's rights or racial justice? The solution was selective application of postmodern principles, maintaining the critique of power structures while asserting that certain power imbalances between identity groups were objectively real and required intervention. Scholars like bell hooks criticized earlier postmodernists for their privilege to remain purely theoretical. This applied postmodernism preserved four key premises: knowledge is culturally constructed, categories serve dominant groups, language shapes reality, and collective identity experiences trump individual perspectives, now with the explicit purpose of transforming society. By the late 1990s, this approach had normalized in academic discourse and has since filtered into broader culture, evident in how discussions about discrimination often begin with the premise that these issues are systemic rather than individual. Postcolonial theory deconstructs colonialism in all forms, from political systems to knowledge production. Edward Said's 1978 Orientalism applied Foucault's power-knowledge concept to colonial discourse, showing how Western scholarship constructed an imagined Orient through binaries like "we are rational, they are superstitious." This evolved into the decolonize everything movement, challenging not just colonial history, but concepts like scientific methodology. Oxford students demanding Rhodes statue removal while questioning the West's self-appointed position as sole producers of universal knowledge exemplify this approach. Queer theory seeks liberation from the normal in gender and sexuality by viewing these categories as social constructions rather than biological realities. David Halperin defines queer as whatever is at odds with the normal, the legitimate, the dominant, an identity without an essence. Judith Butler questions connections between biological sex, gender, and sexuality, arguing gender is performed rather than innate. Butler even suggests biological sex itself might be merely cultural construction. This explains why gender conversations have shifted from equality between men and women to questioning whether these categories themselves are valid, as queer theory's influence extends beyond academia into everyday discourse. Critical race theory emerged from American racial history, viewing race as a social construct maintaining white privilege, an idea originating with W.E.B. Du Bois, who argued racial categories justified mistreatment of minorities. Derrick Bell introduced critical methods through his interest convergence thesis, arguing whites only granted rights to blacks when it served white interests. The theory explicitly rejects liberalism, equality theory, and Enlightenment rationalism. Kimberly Crenshaw developed intersectionality in 1989, using the metaphor of a roadway intersection to illustrate how different forms of prejudice uniquely affect individuals with multiple marginalized identities. A black woman might face discrimination neither white women nor black men experience. Not simply racism plus sexism, but a distinct experience at their intersection. Intersectionality has expanded to include numerous identity categories while maintaining its core approach, identifying power imbalances and reducing complex situations to prejudice understood through power dynamics. This framework transformed feminism from a women's rights movement to one centered on intersecting identity categories, reflected in the shift from women's liberation to gender studies, as gender came to be viewed as constructed rather than biological. Since around 2010, postmodern principles have crystallized from tentative ideas into unquestioned axioms. The belief that society consists of invisible, identity-based power systems constructing knowledge through language has evolved from theoretical framework to established doctrine, ironically transforming a movement founded on radical skepticism into one certain of its own truths. This reified postmodernism elevates theory to sacred text status. The contradiction between skepticism and certainty in social justice theory is reconciled through claiming traditional evidence is unreliable due to oppressive roots, while the lived experience of marginalized groups provides privileged access to truth. Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility exemplifies theory's expansion beyond academia. She claims white people exist in insulated environments, shielding them from racial stress, creating fragility when confronting racial issues. The theory's circular logic makes disagreement impossible. Any response becomes evidence of white fragility itself. Conversations about social justice now often have predetermined conclusions, where disagreement is treated not as intellectual discourse, but as moral failure, reflecting theory's transformation from academic framework to moral orthodoxy. Despite its vulnerabilities, liberalism remains the antidote to theory's dogmatism. As Mill noted, freedom of speech benefits both speakers and listeners, who gain truth through confronting error. Liberalism's core tenets, individual liberty, equality of opportunity, free inquiry, free speech, and humanism, have created the freest, most equal societies in history. Its success stems from being goal-oriented, problem-solving, self-correcting, and progressive. Unlike theory, liberalism values people both as individuals and as members of humanity, prioritizing the individual and universal over group identity. A fundamental problem with leftist identity politics is that it legitimizes right-wing identity politics. When liberal movements challenged hierarchies and advocated evaluating people as individuals, they held moral high ground. By reinstating identity categories, social justice approaches risk fueling an authoritarian backlash. The solution isn't banning theory-based courses, but applying secularism to theory, preventing any ideology from imposing its moral beliefs on unwilling participants. In our divided world, our greatest challenge is reclaiming the liberal tradition that sees us first as individuals and members of a common humanity. Only by balancing skepticism with commitment to reason, evidence, and universal principles can we build a just society honoring both our differences and shared humanity.